The Amber Spyglass by Philip Pullman. Dramatised by Lavinia Murray.
I am Balthamos, a listener of lives, a recording angel. I am also a rebel against our god, whom we call the Authority, and his regent Metatron. The Authority threatens to dictate human affairs by putting an end to free will. A human, Lord Azrael, leads the massed armies who oppose him. I, and another angel, my beloved Baruch, followed Dr. Stanislaw Grumman from Lord Azrael's world, where human souls take animal form, we call them demons, into the world of Chitagatsi. He led us to the bearer of the subtle knife, the 12-year-old Will Parry, and to Lyra Silvertongue, a girl whom fate has marked out as the second Eve. But for the moment, it is the boy that concerns Baruch and I. Because without the knife, Lord Azrael will fail. The true name of the knife is Esseter, God Destroyer.
Lyra!
Will Parry stands in the icy mountain winds, outlined on the jagged rock by cold stars and the setting moon. On a small stone plateau above him lies his father's body with an arrow through the heart. He turns to us.
Who's taken her? Was it her mother? Why can't I see you clearly?
We are angels. We've come to help you.
Angels? Then shouldn't you be shining like light bulbs?
Balthamos and I are angels of low order, but we are men in stature. Our wingspan exceeds 6 paces.
Will feels inside Lyra's rucksack with his good hand and tips out the heavy velvet-wrapped alethiometer.
Can you read this? It'll say where she is.
No.
Do you always tell the truth?
Yes.
All right. Are you stronger than me or weaker?
Weaker. You have flesh. We have a faint glow. Still, you must come with us.
No. I'm stronger and I have the knife. Help me find Lyra. Then I'll go to Lord Azrael.
You're making a mistake.
I can hear your wings, but where are you?
Here.
I still can't see you.
We couldn't find your friend, Lyra, but we did find a lake where the woman camped. A dead witch eaten by a spectre, and a large dead man with silver hair and a pink face.
Sir Charles Latrim. Mrs. Coulter has killed him.
The woman left traces. My companion has followed her.
Do angels have names?
I am Balthamos. My companion is Baruch.
Balthamos and Baruch? You sound like a pair of solicitors. I'm going to use my knife, so you'd better keep out of the way. It's like tracing a row of stitches. This should be my Oxford.
Ah, yes. Congestion on the M40 between junctions 8 and 9.
My father could have gone home. I'd better close it up.
Look, there's another window ahead. Baruch came this way. Come through.
Balthamos, which world is this?
Lyra's.
A long way off in Lyra's world and close to the snow line lies a valley shaded with rhododendrons. In that valley is a cave with a golden monkey demon watching at its entrance. Behind him, a woman is heating water in a small pan over a naphtha stove.
We've got company, Marissa.
It's Arma, the young girl from the village.
Arma lays a little bunch of anemones bound with cotton thread at Mrs. Calder's feet. Arma's demon, Kulang, at present a butterfly, settles on the monkey's horny forefinger.
My village is happy for a holy woman to take refuge in the cave, but they're frightened. They think someone dangerous is with you.
Yes, there is someone else here with me. She's my young daughter, under a sleeping spell. We're hiding from the Enchanter whilst I find a cure. Come and see her.
Let me light a candle. There.
It's just a sleeping girl.
Please, tell no one, Arma. If the Enchanter finds where she is, the village will be in terrible danger.
Mrs. Corter smooths Lyra's damp hair from her sleeping face and kisses her cheek. Arma's eyes fill with tears. As Arma scampers off down the slope, Mrs. Corter crouches down and crumbles dried leaves into the water on the stove and adds 3 drops of pale yellow oil. Then she pours it carefully into a metal beaker. Lyra's head lolls and her eyes move beneath their lids.
Roger?
Shh, darling. Mama's here. Drink this. Take a little sip, my love. There. Ozymandias, stop pinching her arm.
I was soothing her.
You've left red marks.
Lyra dreams of the end of all places and the last of all worlds.
Lyra! Roger! Roger, my dear, I can hardly see you. What is this place?
It's the world of the dead. I don't know if I'm here forever. I don't know if I did bad things or what. Lyra, I tried to be good.
Well, you never done bad things, Roger. Only mischief and that. You shouldn't be here. I didn't know what Lord Asriel was going to do. I thought we'd give him the Elysium to, and then go home.
I'm scared. I hate it. I'll be here forever. The sky's dead. The ground's dead. I don't know where Cecilia is. I ain't ever been alone before.
Roger, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Ask yourself, Marissa, what happens when the Magisterium find out you're hiding her?
I'm keeping my daughter safe. If I didn't drug her, she'd run away and be killed.
Meanwhile, Will walks through woods in Lyra's world.
Listen. It's Baruch.
I'm here, Will.
Did you find Lyra?
Yes. She's being held captive in a cave in a Himalayan valley, very high up. Her mother keeps her asleep.
So she's not harmed?
No. There's a shrine near the glacier, with red silk banners torn by the winds. A young girl brings food to the cave because her people think the woman is a saint.
Mrs. Coulter, a saint?
She's hiding from the Magisterium.
But she works for them.
Without warning, an angel drops out of the sky, bringing down branches with him, terrifying the birds, an angel that Will can see. His feet tread the barely visible bodies of Baruch and myself. He is too strong for us. We shall be killed.
The knife! Use it!
I can't! You're all moving too quickly.
Help us!
Lord Regent, I have them!
Will touches the angel holding Baruch and myself with his knife. Feathers cascade from him. His shape vanishes. Then the sky above the broken treetops fills with clouds, which begin to part, and something like a shaft of brilliant light shoots towards us. It is the Regent Metatron.
Have I just killed the angel?
You had to. Now cut a way through before Metatron reaches us. Please, Will. Please.
I hate killing.
Quickly, Will. Quickly, please.
I'm trying.
Metatron is almost here.
I could feel his spear hit the window as I closed it.
Will, it's because we discovered a secret about the Authority's kingdom.
Is the Authority God?
Yes, he is God. But Zephania, another angel, found out he wasn't the creator. We serve Zephania.
The Authority was formed from dust. We all are.
I keep hearing about dust. Nobody's explained what it is.
Dust is the name of what happens when matter begins to understand itself. Dust chooses to know good from evil. To the Authority, this is loss of innocence. Sin.
Lord Asriel must be told what we discovered on Clouded Mountain.
Clouded Mountain?
It moves from place to place. But beneath the clouds, it looks like a mountain.
The Authority lives in a crystal chamber at its heart. We couldn't get close, although we saw him.
He has delegated his power to Metatron.
And now Metatron's seen you and the knife.
He'll want to kill us all.
What happens when we die?
There's a world of the dead.
It's a prison camp.
Is it a world I could cut into?
We don't know.
Everything about it is secret.
Look, why don't you go straight to Lord Asriel with your great secret?
We're not sure he'd believe us without the knife.
We thought we could persuade you.
You're making it harder for me to reach Lyra. I've got this Metatron thing attacking me now because of you.
You need me.
I don't think so.
I'm going to pretend to be your demon. In Lyra's world, you'd stand out otherwise.
And I'll go on my own to Lord Azrael and ask him to send help to find his daughter.
Be careful. Remember how vulnerable we are in these realms, Varuk. In a more northerly part of Lyra's world, the witch Serafina Pekela and her demon Kaiser fly over a land that is so altered by the changing weather, neither of them recognize it. She doesn't yet know that Lyra is being held captive by Mrs. Coulter. Serafina spots the Bear King, Yorick Bjørnason, climbing out of the sea.
King Yorick, I've failed your comrade, Lee Scoresby. I gave him a flower to summon me with, but I arrived too late. He died, fighting a force of Muscovites. He was trying to find an object that would protect Lyra. King Yorick, I am wretched with remorse.
Where did this happen?
In another world.
He was my friend, and I shall avenge him. Where is the child, Lyra Silvertongue?
I left her with my sisters.
In that same world?
Yes.
So she is safe. Good. Now I must find an icebound country for my kin, or we will all perish. Lee told me there were mountains in the south, crowned with snow and ice all year.
The next day, Arma and her demon Kulang return to the cave, clutching a pouch of precious medicine with which to wake Lyra.
Hello? Come on, Kulang.
Be careful.
I want to see the sleeping girl. Perhaps I can wake her before her mother returns.
They're back. Arma, hide. They won't be too pleased if they find you.
The girl's been here. She's left food.
Good. Let me revive the fire. Lyra will need attending to shortly.
Roger?
Hush, dear.
Where's Roger gone?
Lift yourself and let Mama wash you. Up you come, my love.
There. She said the girl was under an enchantment.
She was lying. Where's Serafina? And Will, help me! Help me! I don't want to sleep! I wish you weren't my mother! I hate you!
Come now, hush. Drink this.
You dare touch me, and Yorick will tear your head off! Yorick Bjørnason, help me!
Ozymandias takes the opportunity to maul Pan.
Get off me!
Don't hurt him!
Pantalaimon changes from cat to snake, to rat to fox, and then to porcupine with raised quills which jab and cut the monkey's paws.
Stop! Ow,
stop
ow.
That! Now drink.
Oh, I don't want to sleep.
Our mother's the Enchantress, Kulang.
Sleep, my love, sleep. It's the only place you're safe. Good. That's it, my darling. Now I'll take a little curl from your hair for my locket.
Once the curl of tawny gold hair is shut inside the locket, Mrs. Coulter reaches up and takes one of the drowsy bats and places it in her monkey demon's outstretched paw. He begins pulling at its wings.
She lied to us, Kulang. She's cruel. Shall we tell Father?
No. We've got the medicine. When the woman goes out again, we'll wake the girl and take her with us.
In Lord Azrael's world, my beloved Baruch stands on the shore of an immense lake of molten sulfur. If he attempts to fly across, the enemy scouts will see him. It will take so long to walk around that his message might be too late. So he darts upwards when a cloud of stinking smoke billows off the yellow surface. But he's spotted immediately by four of Metatron's henchmen. They bring him down. At the western end of the lake, a fortress of basalt seems to grow out of the mountain. On the most exposed side of the fortress, there's a small gate guarded by a sentry.
All right. We found him at the Sulphur Lake. Says his name's Baruch. He's got an urgent message for Lord Azrael.
Blimey, it's an angel. All right, help me up with him.
The lower depths of the basalt fortress contain arsenals, magazines and stores. There's even a railway. Above ground, there are libraries as large as cities, garrisons big enough to house whole battalions. Inside Lord Azrael's quarters, at the top of the West Tower, a small blue hawk perches on a stanchion at head height. It belongs to the spymaster, Lord Roke. Lord Roke is no taller than Lord Azrael's hand, as slender as a dragonfly and barefoot. Poisonous spurs grow from his heels with which he can sting his adversaries.
The Magisterium is alive with speculation about your daughter.
I find that hard to believe.
You don't seem to understand how important your daughter is.
I'd have thought my rebellion was more worrying than anything a little girl could do.
Your daughter's activities take precedence. I know because I have spies in the Magisterium.
Their standards are slipping. They used to be impregnable.
There is no laxity on their part. The Lady Salmakia and Chevalier Tialis are excellent.
I take it the information came through that talking listening machine? Your lodestone resonator?
Yes. They think that Lyra is the most important child who ever lived.
Let me know the moment you hear any more.
I shall, Lord Azrael.
The blue hawk swoops down and lands on the table. Lord Roke springs into the leaf saddle on her back and holds the cobweb bridle. Hawk and rider fly out of the open window and into a night brilliant with stars.
Yes?
My lord, there's an angel to see you. He's badly hurt.
Lay him on the couch.
Yes, Lord Azrael.
My name is Baruch. My companion, Balthamos, and I are rebels and serve the Angel Zephania. We wanted to bring you something valuable because our power is small. Not long ago, we entered the heart of Clouded Mountain.
Take your time.
We learned that the authority has retired to a crystal chamber. There is an angel, Metatron, ruling on his behalf. Metatron is proud, and his ambition is limitless. He thinks the Magisterium is weak and corrupt. He's going to set up a permanent inquisition in every world, run directly from the kingdom. He intends to move the authority secretly to a permanent citadel and turn Clouded Mountain into an engine of war. And his first campaign will be to destroy your republic.
At last, someone's taking me seriously.
There's a knife that can cut openings between worlds and anything in them. Its power is unlimited, but only in the hands of its bearer. And that person is a boy. My companion is with him now. The boy and your daughter are friends. He won't come until he's found her.
Who is he?
The son of a shaman called Stanislaw Grumman.
Grumman had a son?
Grumman was not born in your world. Nor was Grumman his real name. We followed him because he was searching for the knife.
Do you know where my daughter is?
The Himalayas, in her own world.
Show me exactly where she is on the map.
With the knife, the boy can enter and leave any world at will. But he and Balthamos are in danger. Metatron knows we have his secret. Metatron was once Enoch, and I was his brother. A lover of the flesh, he had many wives. That is still his weakness.
Where is the girl?
A cave. Her mother. A valley full of winds and rainbows. Here.
There's a knock at the door. Stella Maria leaps to prevent it from opening. But an orderly enters and a gust of cold air finds my beloved. Baruch dies, dissolving in a swirl of golden sparks.
Balthamos!
My lord, I beg your pardon.
Not your fault. Take my compliments to King Ogunwe. I would be glad if he and my other commanders could join me immediately. I want number 2 squadron of gyropters and a tanker zeppelin to take off at once.
Yes, sir.
I shall send further orders in the air.
Yes, sir.
In Lyra's world, the consistorial court of the Magisterium now sits at session in the half-gloom of an oak-paneled room with high, dusty windows. The Grand Inquisitor, Father MacPhail, questions the terrified alethiometrist.
Now, Father Pavel, what did the witch say on the ship?
I hadn't seen torture before, and it made me feel faint. I can't tell you exactly what she said, but I do remember the meaning. The child, Lyra, is the subject of a prophecy. And she's to make a choice on which the future of all worlds depends. She has a name that will make the Magisterium hate and fear her.
Did the witch say what it was?
No. Another witch, present under the spell of invisibility, killed her.
So the woman Coulter would not have heard the name?
No.
And Mrs. Coulter left shortly afterwards?
She did. And then I discovered that the child had gone into another world through the rift opened by Lord Azrael. May I speak entirely freely?
You'll not be punished for telling us what you have learned from the alethiometer.
The knife is able to make openings between worlds. It has a power greater than... I'm afraid to say, the authority.
You must not fear us.
There is nothing that this knife cannot destroy.
Did you ask further about the girl?
The girl is in the position of Eve, the wife of Adam, the mother of us all and the cause of all sin. The alethiometer says that if the child is tempted, as Eve was, then she is likely to fall, and dust and sin will triumph.
Do you know where she is?
Her mother is with her. They are in the Himalayas. I'm still trying to find the precise location.
Then continue your investigation. Stand down. This child, Lyra Balakwa, this Eve, will involve us all in ruin. Therefore I propose to send an assassin to kill her before she can be tempted.
Father President!
I've done preemptive penance every day of my adult life. I have already atoned for her death.
Father Gomez, I had you in mind. Do I have the agreement of the court? How much better if there'd been a Father Gomez in the Garden of Eden? I shall also send a squadron of armed zeppelins. As a failsafe.
Hidden high in the beams, the Chevalier Tialis, a Galavesbian spy working for Lord Azrael, flies out through the small space of an open window on his dragonfly mount. He has heard all. He shall tell all. Downstairs, in the torture chamber, Father MacPhail, the Inquisitor, goes to talk to his prisoner, Dr. Cooper.
So, you nearly succeeded in severing the child from her demon?
Yes. We were told that the program had your approval. We would never have gone against the Magisterium.
No, of course not. Do you have any idea what might have been the source of the colossal energy Lord Azrael released on Svalbard? He killed a child in the process.
One of our team observed that Severance released energy. Controlling it would involve a powerful anbaric current.
Where's that colleague now? I need to know how to sever a demon.
He died in the attack on Balvanga.
I want you to remember what your colleague said. We'll have you moved to a more suitable room. It is a great task. You are blessed to be entrusted with it. Give thanks to the authority.
I do, Father Inquisitor. I do.
Later, Father MacPhail leads Father Gomez, whose demon is a green-backed beetle, into his book-lined study.
Father Gomez, once you leave here, you can never come back.
I understand, Father Inquisitor.
My advice is to follow the tempter. She will lead you to the child. The rebel angels protect her, but this tempter and the second Eve must never meet.
Yes, Father Inquisitor.
You, Father Gomez, are the ultimate guarantee that evil will not prevail. Killing the girl will be no sin at all. Here is all we know about the tempter, a Dr. Mary Malone. Read it, then go with my blessing, Luis.
I thank you, Father Inquisitor. I vow the girl shall die.
In the world of Chittagatsi, Dr. Mary Malone, a research scientist from Wills, Oxford, walks beneath the fragrant pine trees on a hill outside the city. She's looking for another window. She's almost certain there's one close by. Turning her head, she notices a different colored patch of air.
Okay, Mary. Post your rucksack through first. That's it. Nerves of steel.
Oh. In the new world she enters, it's also evening.
Hummingbirds. So many flowers. This is paradise.
She enters a grove of giant trees. It feels as if she's in a cathedral, and then wades ankle-deep through leaf skeletons as long as her foot. After 5 minutes, she sits down to rest, dozing off, leaning against one of the massive trunks. Suddenly, from close by, there's a resounding crash that shakes the ground. She sits up with a jolt, gathers her wits, and watches a round object about a meter across, rolling, coming to a halt, and then falling on its side.
What nut on earth is it? If that's a seed pod, it's a whopper. And they look exactly like wheels. They're hard as anything. Smells gorgeous. Oil of some kind. Hello?
Approaching her is a herd of animals using the seed pods as wheels.
Clever. Strange. Spooky.
The animals dismount. Mary realizes they've come to collect the seed pods.
Hello? Over here! Please, don't harm me.
There are a dozen or so of these creatures, lean and grey-coloured with horned heads and short trunks. Several come over and begin to examine Mary and her rucksack. What she doesn't know is they can see dust. It dances around her and her belongings in a golden swirl.
Not sure you'll understand, but I'm Mary.
Hello? I'm Atto.
What are you? Sorry, that sounds rude. I'm a human being.
We are Mulefa. Please, come with us.
You want me to climb on?
We want to take you to our village.
In Lyra's world, I am plunged into despair.
What is it, Balthamos?
I only know that half my heart is torn away. Oh, Baruk is dead!
Oh! Balthamos, come here! Please don't fly off. I can only protect you with the knife if you stay close.
Oh.
I'm really very sorry about Baruk. Look, you'll have to pretend to be my demon again. People are beginning to stare. Sounds like it's coming from the jetty. What's happening?
The bears are attacking from their ship. We don't want them to dock here, but we only have one gun, and they have a fire thrower.
Why do they want to come ashore?
They want fuel. They're leaving their kingdom and coming south.
They eat children now there's no seals. They're vicious. They carry diseases. We shall kill them. Vermin!
Look! That big one swam ashore.
There's something wrong with an animal that mucks around with metal and wears armor. They're great big hairy blacksmiths. Abominations!
Let me speak to him.
What do you want, boy?
I'll fight you in single combat.
You'll fight me?
Yes. If I win, people will see you're no threat. Then you can buy fuel and go.
It would be shameful to fight you. You are weak as an oyster out of its shell.
If you want to make it fairer, give me your helmet.
Here.
Let's see what my knife does to it. It's like butter. There. That was your helmet. And this is my knife.
I can't fight that. Boy, you win! What is your name?
Will Parry.
Why are you here?
I want to go to the mountains. Upriver is the quickest way. Can I come with you?
Yes. I want to see the knife.
There's only one bear I'd show the knife to. He's your king. He's a friend of the girl I'm going to the mountains to find. Her name is Lyra Silvertongue. And the bear is Yorick Bjornason.
I am Yorick Bjornason.
I guessed you were.
Come aboard. When the fuel is loaded, we will set sail again. Nothing made of iron or steel is a mystery to a bear, but I have never seen a knife like yours. How did you come to possess it?
I fought for it, and I lost some fingers.
Show me your hand. They have been healed with blood moss. Who dressed the wound?
A shaman.
And what did he tell you to do with the knife?
To use it in a war, on the side of Lord Asriel. But first, I've got to rescue Lyra.
Then I shall help.
Now the river has changed color, meeting the remains of floodwaters that have swept down from the Arctic. The air is growing hotter, the sun higher, and the bears more and more uncomfortable. But there are mountains visible with snow and ice on their peaks.
Bells! Mark this place! When the time comes for us to move back to the Arctic, we shall assemble here. Hunt, feed, and live. If war threatens, I shall call you. We shall find Lyra.
Arma climbs the path to the cave, wondering how she can reach the sleeping girl. She comes face to face with a huge white bear and a fierce-looking boy with an elegant bird, myself, perched on his arm. She nearly turns and runs.
Hello, I'm Will. Who are you?
Arma.
She stares at his mutilated hand. A demon speaks.
I am Kulang.
Kulang, we are looking for a cave with a girl asleep inside it.
I know where she is. Her mother makes her drink something, but I have herbs to wake her up.
Yorick?
Yes?
I'll go with Arma and find out where Lyra is.
I'll keep watch here.
It's this way.
I think her demon's seen us.
I hate that golden monkey. He tears the wings off living bats.
If Mrs. Coulter doesn't leave soon, I'll have to pay her a visit. Arma, what do you have to do with the waking medicine?
You brush it into the nose, really carefully.
Do you have it with you?
No, it's safely hidden at home.
Bring it later when you fetch our food. I'll go and introduce myself.
See you just before sundown.
Mrs. Coulter sits at her ease in a little canvas chair with a book on her lap.
Hello. You must be well.
Will kneels beside Lyra and lifts the hair away from her hot, damp face. Without seeming to, he also memorizes the exact layout of the cave.
So you see, Will, she's quite safe.
Why are you keeping her here?
My daughter is in danger from the very people I used to belong to. The Magisterium. They want to kill her. They've had to become a renegade and hide. Let's sit down. Have you got Lyra's alethiometer?
Yes.
And you've got a knife. May I see it?
No. Why are you keeping her asleep?
If Lyra woke, she'd run away and be killed.
Why don't you give her the choice?
Do you think she'd believe me? She hates me, Will. I love her so much, I'd given up everything I had. Career, wealth, great happiness, power. Just so I can keep my daughter alive. Wouldn't your mother do as much for you?
Will feels a jolt of shock and rage. His mother is ill. He had to protect her. Did Mrs. Coulter love Lyra more than Elaine Perry loved him? For a moment, Mrs. Coulter looks uncannily like her daughter.
So, what are you going to do?
I've seen Lyra. Now I can go and help Lord Asriel.
You could cut one of those windows and help us get away.
I'm going now.
She holds out her hand. He finds himself liking her because she seems a more complicated, richer, and deeper version of Lyra.
You were foolish to go and see her. Now you want to see her again?
Yorick, you agree with Balthamos?
Yes.
Now you can't stop thinking about her.
That's not true.
She's not to be trusted.
What's that noise?
Zeppelins. They must be the Magisteriums. They'll be here soon. What's your plan, Will?
I'm going to make an opening and take Lyra through into another world and close it again before her mother follows. Arma will have to come into the cave as well to wake Lyra up. Could you distract Mrs. Coulter?
Easily,
Balthamos, where are you?
Here.
Going back into the forest to cut a window into another world for us to escape into afterwards. Keep watch and tell me the moment anyone comes near. Her or that stinky monkey.
I will.
Hidden in the bulkhead of the Magisterium's leading Zeppelin are the Gallivespian spies, Lady Salmakia and Chevalier Tialis. Sent by Lord Roke, Lord Azrael's spymaster, they listen.
Captain Renfrew reporting, over.
We're receiving you, over.
We're 3 hours away from the target, over.
On landing, you are to send a squad to the cave. The first unit will kill the child and remove her head. You are to catch the woman, but kill her if she resists. The second unit is to capture the boy alive. The remainder of the force will engage with King Ogunwe's gyropters. Over.
Message received and understood. Over and out.
The Chevalier Tialis relays all he has heard back to Lord Azrael through his lodestone resonator. Then, the Lady Salmakia and the Chevalier fit their newly hatched dragonflies with spider silk reins. The two of them whirl upwards in the icy dusk, flying towards the cave in the valley where Mrs. Coulter is keeping Lyra. As darkness falls, this is how things stand. In his adamantine tower, Lord Azrael paces up and down. King Ogunwe sits in the cabin of his gyropter, at the head of a squadron flying towards the cave in the Himalayan valley, hoping to arrive there before the Magisterium's troops. Mrs. Coulter lies awake in the entrance of the cave. Lyra, hot, restless, deeply asleep, dreams of the land of the dead. Meanwhile, Will and Armor make their way towards the cave. Yorick the Bear King in his armor waits to hold off the Magisterium's regiment to give Will time to rescue Lyra.
Balthamos, stay close and warn me of any danger. I need you.
I shall.
I watch Tialis and Salmakia soar over the valley and then down out of the icy winds and into the trees where they flit from branch to branch, entering the cave unseen by all but me.
All right, Armor. I'm going to cut into another world. Please don't be scared.
The knife opens a second sky where the moon glares down onto a bleached bone-white ground and insects trill. Armor reluctantly follows Will through.
This moonlight will shine like a torch once I open the window into Mrs. Coulter's cave. I'll have to be very quick and pull Lyra through. Armor?
All right.
Ready?
Yes.
Come on. I'll see you later.
Armor's demon, Kulang, becomes a bat and uses his sonar to scan the back of the cave. Nothing. Will looks towards the entrance where Mrs. Coulter and her demon lie. His heart sinks. Lyra is asleep next to them.
Armor, we'll have to get Lyra now, before Mrs. Coulter wakes.
I'm ready.
Mrs. Coulter's woken up. Come on, whilst she's distracted. Lyra!
Will starts to cut a window into the moonlit world when Mrs. Coulter and her demon monkey silently turn round. The glare of the other moon lights her face, and for an instant, Will seems to be staring at his mother, and his heart sinks. His mind leaves the knife point, and with a wrench and a crack, the blade shatters and falls to pieces on the ground.
Wake Lyra up now!
I don't know how you did that, but I'm not afraid of you. I can still take Lyra out of here, even if I don't have the knife.
How?
I can fight.
Mrs. Coulter moves a little to let the light from the Zeppelin search beams shine on the pistol in her hand. The light also shows Armor sprinkling the powder on Lyra's upper lip. Will searches the cave floor for the fragments of the knife. He knows he must gather every piece. Outside, the Magisterium Zeppelins hover as soldiers slide down ropes to the ground. Lord Azrael's gyropters land, but neither force has yet reached the cave.
What are you going to do?
Hold you captive.
They want to kill us all.
The Magisterium does. We must hope Lord Azrael's troops win.
You broke the knife!
No, you broke it.
Will, is that you?
Lyra!
Where am I? Is Mrs. Coulter still here? What's happening?
We're in a cave. You've been asleep for days. I got here as soon as I could. But there's loads of soldiers out there too. I've no idea who they are.
They're too busy fighting each other to be bothered with us yet.
I see the monkey demon snatch something out of the air. It's Lady Salmakia, the Gallivespian spy.
Tialis! Ah! Tialis, help me!
It's a tiny person. He won't stop till he's torn her arms off.
Oh!
Mrs. Coulter drops the gun. The Gallivespian, Tialis, has his hands entwined in Mrs. Coulter's hair and his poisonous spur pressed in her neck, Will picks up the fallen pistol.
So, Master Will, what do you think we should do now?
This.
Holding the gun, Will sweeps his hand sideways and knocks the golden monkey off his perch, stunning him. The monkey relaxes his paw, enough for the tiny woman to struggle free.
Have you got the knife?
Of course.
Then follow us. Who is the other child?
Arma. She's from the village.
She must return there. Move, now, before the Magisterium soldiers come.
Mrs. Coulter, half stunned with pain, watches as Will helps Lyra. They see the two small figures of Tialis and Salmakia leap onto dragonflies almost the length of Will's forearm.
Lyra, my dear one, my heart's treasure, don't go.
Lyra, her face streaming with tears, steps over her mother's body.
Here's your pistol. You may need it. Arma, go straight back to the village. The path's safe.
Goodbye.
And thank you. Thank you.
Run, children.
Make for the top of the cliff and give yourself up to Lord Asriel's soldiers.
Right. I don't think so. Come on. I cut a window through to somewhere safer this afternoon. Good job I did. Yorick must be fighting further down.
Yorick's here?
Yeah, in the thick of it. Come on, Lyra.
Will drags Lyra towards the window deep inside the bushes. They plunge through into the other world. Onto the bone-white rocks and under the ghastly moon, away from the danger of being caught. Surprisingly, the two little Gallivespian spies are already there with their packs on the ground nearby, watching.
Sorry, Lyra. I thought we'd shaken them off. There's one good thing, though. Look, your alethiometer's in my rucksack.
You bring it all this way for me? And your father? Did you find him?
Yes. Do you know who these two small people are?
No idea. We better be careful. I wouldn't like to get on the wrong side of them.
Lyra, the knife's broken. We're stuck till we can mend it. I don't want those two little people to know. I thought you could ask the alethiometer.
Yeah, I will. Oh, it mentions Yorick. You said he's nearby.
Yes. Could he mend the knife?
He could do anything with metal. I kept dreaming about Roger. You know, I tried to rescue him when the gobblers took him to Bolvanger, and then Lord Asriel killed him in Svalbard. In my dream, I saw him, and he was a ghost. He wanted to speak to me, so I've got to go down to the Land of the Dead and find him and say sorry.
The Land of the Dead might be a world like this one.
Maybe we could get Roger's ghost out. We could rescue him.
If I don't get the knife mended, we won't be able to do anything. Those little people are watching us.
Excuse me, whose side are you on?
We are Gallivespians. I am the Lady Salmakia, and my companion is the Chevalier Tialis. We are spies for Lord Asriel.
What world are you from?
One with the same problems as yours. Our leader, Lord Roke, heard of Lord Asriel's revolt and pledged our support.
What do you want with me?
To take you to your father.
Lord Asriel also wants the subtle knife and its bearer.
Suppose we don't want to go?
Those are our orders.
You must tell us what you intend to do.
We're going back into Lyra's world to find a friend of ours, a bear. He's not far away.
The bear with armor. We saw him fight. But then you must come with us to Lord Asriel.
Everyone keeps saying I have to go to Lord Asriel.
Humor them. Then we'll find out more. That poison in your spurs, Tialis. Will Mrs. Coulter die?
It was only a light sting. A full dose would have been fatal.
I need to talk to Lyra. In private.
You could cut through into another world.
Don't you trust me?
No.
Will lays the knife in its horn sheath on a boulder, careful not to let the pieces rattle. He and Lyra walk away out of the Gallivespian's hearing.
I only hope Yorick can mend it. Do you think we can trust the spies while we sleep?
They're fierce, but I think they're honest.
We're going to sleep now. We'll move on in the morning.
Very well.
The sun dawns in all the parallel worlds. Lyra wakes, a little bewildered by the waveless sea and windless dunes. Will is already awake.
Oh, good morning, everyone.
The forces of the Magisterium have retreated. Mrs. Coulter is in the hands of King Ogunwe and on her way to Lord Asriel.
How do you know?
The lodestone resonator. I reported our conversation about the armored bear, and my commander, Lord Roke, has agreed we should go with you. But once you have seen him, you must come with us.
Right.
We'd better go back through.
They cross back into Lyra's world. There follows a day of long, hard walking. The track grows steeper and the snow line closer. Suddenly, Lyra spots the glimmering outline of a polar bear approaching.
Yorick! I thought I'd never see you again. Is Mr. Scoresby safe?
Climb up, children. I shall take you to my cave. Lyra? Mr. Scoresby died fighting.
Oh, no, he can't have... No!
He kept a company of Muscovites at bay while Stanislaw Grumman escaped. He died bravely. I shall avenge him.
Lyra, Stanislaw Grumman. His real name was John Parry.
Mr. Scoresby died saving your father?
Yes.
Our stories are tied up with each other. We were supposed to meet.
Let me light a fire. Here is kindling and ironstone.
King Yorick, my knife is broken. Hang on. If you Galavespians are listening, come out and do it honestly.
Why did you deceive us about the knife?
Yes, why?
I had to. He'd have stung us and had us kidnapped.
Who are they?
Lord Asriel's spies. They helped us yesterday, but they shouldn't eavesdrop.
Come down by the fire.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Your Majesty.
Will, tell me about the knife.
I didn't think it could break. Lyra's alethiometer said you'd be able to mend it.
Show me the fragments. Yes, I can mend it, although it should never have been made in the first place. This knife has intentions, too. Fetch me kindling from the bushes you'll find along the path.
Do you know what I'm afraid of? Getting stuck somewhere and never seeing my mother again.
I grew up on my own, really. It was always just me and Pan. But in the cave, with Mrs. Coulter, I felt... When I woke up once or twice, she was holding me in her arms. Maybe she was loving me.
Yeah, well... Look, these must be the bushes Yorick meant.
Inside the cave, Yorick Bjørnason lays out the tools in his improvised workshop. The stone hammer and the anvil consisting of a piece of his armor.
Lyra, find some more stones like this one. When they are hot, they give off a gas that will surround the blade and keep the air from it.
Yorick sets the first two pieces of the blade at the heart of the fire. He watches closely as the metal changes color and the surface glistens and sparks fly from it. He snatches the pieces, holding them between the tips of his massive claws and places them on the slab of armor.
Yorick, I can smell your claws burning.
Moving with extraordinary speed, Yorick adjusts the pieces that overlap and then raises his left paw high and strikes a blow with the rock hammer. And the knife tip leaps.
Will, hold it still in your mind. You have to forge it too.
Will quivers under the blows, trying to sense the atoms of the metal linking across the fracture.
Yes! The join is made.
Now it's time to attach the final piece. Will's head is ringing. He can barely lift the next branch onto the fire, but he has to understand every connection or the knife will not hold together.
Will, Lyra, we are equal to this.
Will turns back to the fire and braces himself for the last fierce task. As Will feels the last atom settling across the break, he sinks to the floor, as does Lyra, their hair full of soot and smoke.
Will, come outside. Lyra, stay here. And don't touch the knife. I think I have stepped outside bare nature in mending this knife. The time will tell. Now, why did the knife break?
When Mrs. Coulter looked at me, I thought I saw my mother's face. The knife came up against something I couldn't cut.
What are you going to do with it?
I don't know.
Answer me.
Oh! A said I don't know because I haven't thought about it. It frightens Lyra and me. We want to go to the land of the dead and talk to the ghost of Lyra's friend, Roger. But my father and the angels, Balthamos and Baruch, told me to take the knife to Lord Asriel. And I want to go home and look after my mother. That's why I can answer you.
I see. If you want to succeed in this task, Will, you must not think about your mother. If your mind is divided, the knife will break again. Now go back and plunge the knife into the snow. Lyra Silvertongue, why do you want to visit the dead?
I dreamt Roger's ghost was calling me.
While you are alive, your business is with life.
No, Yorick. We have to keep promises. What are you going to do now?
I am returning north with my bears. There's no food here. We can live more easily by the sea, even if it's warm. And I can feel war, Lyra Silvertongue. I can smell it. Go well, Lyra Silvertongue, my dear friend. Now I must turn north and leave.
Goodbye, Yorick.
Pan turns into a wolf and howls.
What is it?
Oh, I love Yorick so much, Will. And he looked old. He looked hungry and old and sad. If Mr. Scoresby's dead and Yorick's old, then what's got to be done has to be done by us.
We can do it. I'm not going to look back anymore. If we stay here, the gyropter things will come.
Let's get our things.
What are you doing?
What does it look like?
You must wait for Lord Asriel's gyropters.
We'd rather not. Now the knife's cool enough, I'm going to use it. You can come with us, but you can't make us stay. We'll sleep here.
The Chevalier Tialis takes out his lodestone resonator and begins to bow a message. In Lord Asriel's world, Mrs. Coulter is bound to a chair in a chamber at the top of the Adamantine Tower. Her golden monkey demon thrashes and struggles in the coils of a silver chain.
What have you done with Lyra, Asriel?
Nothing. She's more trouble than she's worth.
Lyra's unique. She's brave, generous, loving, and think of what she's done already.
She's turned you into a drab, doting mother. Control your noise, or I'll have you gagged.
Don't humiliate me further.
I'll untie you, but he can stay in his chains.
Lord Roke glides in through the window on his blue hawk and lands on the table. A wounded King Ogunwe enters through the door, accompanied by the third of Lord Asriel's high commanders, the angel Zephania. Mrs. Coulter sits in the shadows.
What happened, King Ogunwe?
We killed 17 Magisterium guards and destroyed 2 Zeppelins. We also suffered casualties. 5 men were lost and 1 gyropter. The girl and boy escaped, but we captured the Lady Coulter. I hope she feels we treated her courteously.
Yes, thank you.
Now, Lord Roke, what have you heard from your spies?
The boy's knife broke, but it was mended by King Yorick Bjørnason. Then the boy cut into another world where they are now. My spies remain with them.
Marissa, have you any idea what the children intend to do next?
None whatsoever. I didn't think you were interested, Asriel.
My lord, Mrs. Coulter must be taken elsewhere.
Please, listen to me first. The Magisterium are going to kill my daughter. The witches prophesy that Lyra will be tempted as Eve was. I tried to save her.
You drugged her.
She hates me and would have run away. It was the first time I'd ever been able to keep her safe from harm. I felt such love for her.
And then military strategy takes precedence. When the discussions are over, Lord Asriel takes a key from his pocket and unlocks the golden monkey's feet and hands. Then he strides along the wind-beaten battlements and down a mighty staircase. They follow.
Excuse me, my lady. Your name is Zephania?
Yes.
Zephania is tall, winged, and her lined face is older than any living creature Mrs. Coulter has ever seen.
I have pledged my allegiance to Lord Asriel. I see in his great enterprise the best hope of destroying tyranny.
But if you fail?
Cruelty will reign forever.
Angels, of course, cannot be drawn into conversation.
Pardon my ignorance, King Ogunwe,
But I'd never heard nor seen a being like the tiny man riding the blue hawk until the fight in the cave yesterday. Where does he come from?
Their world developed like ours, but the humans are all servants of the authority and regard the small people as devils.
Are all Galavespians allies of Lord Asriel?
No, though most are.
And the angels?
Mrs. Coulter, these questions are the sort of things a spy would ask.
I can't escape. I'm harmless.
If you say so. Angels are difficult to understand. Some have greater powers, and there are complicated alliances among them. The authority has been suppressing them since he came into being.
But the authority created everything. He wasn't created.
There may or may not have been a creator, but the authority took charge. Since then, angels have rebelled. This is the last rebellion, and it unites beings from all the worlds under a common cause. This is the greatest force ever assembled.
And is Lord Asriel going to attack the Kingdom of Heaven?
Lord Asriel is setting up a world where there are no kingdoms at all. No kings, no bishops, no priests. The authority may want to attack us because we intend to be free citizens of the Republic of Heaven.
A republic? Is that why Asriel left his servant at home?
The staircase opens onto a massive hall lit by glowing crystals. Ladders, gantries, beams, and walkways straddled the gloom above, filled with figures moving purposefully across them. Lord Asriel passes through a set of iron doors. The noise redoubles, and the heat sweeps over them like a breaking wave.
I've seen forges and manufacturers in my own world, but the biggest seems like a village smithy besides this.
Lord Asriel gestures to the small group to follow him down a long, rocky corridor where the grinding and hammering gradually fades. Then, without warning, they emerge into the night air.
What is that?
The Intention Craft.
It looks like some kind of complex drilling apparatus. Lord Asriel swings himself up into the seat, fastening a leather harness around his waist and shoulders and setting a helmet securely on his head. His snow leopard demon, Stelmaria, follows him. The Intention Craft suddenly moves. Various parts of it are revolving, turning this way and that, scanning the dark sky overhead. And then it vanishes, only to reappear, hovering above them.
Listen! To the south!
Gyropter blades! Whose are they?
Ours! My pilots flying a mission to tempt the enemy to follow. Watch!
Above them, the Intention Craft hangs as firmly as if it were anchored. A group of lights appear low in the sky. There are six gyropters, one in trouble, with smoke trailing from it. In close pursuit come a motley collection of flyers, a gyropter, two straight-winged aircraft, and four angels.
A raiding party, Mrs. Coulter.
They're closing in on the gyropters.
The Intention Craft lands.
Impressive! Asriel, may I see how it works?
Come up. Take my hand. It's powered by intentions. If you intend to go forward, it goes forward.
That's no answer.
Your demon has to hold this handle, whether in its teeth or paws doesn't matter. And you have to wear the helmet. An Ambaric current flows between them.
I see.
Then she pushes him hard so that he falls out of the machine. At the same moment, she puts the helmet on her head, and the golden monkey takes up the leather handle. The Intention Craft leaps into the air.
Lord Roke, go with her.
Yes, Lord Asriel.
Well, King Ogunwe, I should have listened to you.
Do you think she has gone in search of the child?
She has no idea where Lyra is. She'll go to the Magisterium and spy on them. For us.
When will Lord Roke let her know she's being followed?
Oh, I think he'll keep that as a surprise. Don't you?
They move back into the workshop, behind the massive iron doors, where a later, more advanced model of the Intention Craft is awaiting their inspection. In the world of the Malefa, Mary Malone is constructing a mirror.
She grinds the surface of a piece of softwood with a sandstone block until it's flat. Then, using the resinous sap from the wheelpod grove, she paints on layer after layer using pads of cottony fiber. She polishes the surface until her arms ache. Satisfied, she tries the mirror out, cleaning the surface with a little of the seed pod oil. Suddenly, she sees a throng of golden sparkles. They cluster around her faint reflection. Mary Malone can see shadow particles. Dust. She carefully peels the resin from the wood, holds up the lacquer, and looks through it at a world dancing with living thoughts.
I didn't know it was so beautiful. If I put some of this resin, I suppose it's amber, isn't it? If I put a piece of it on the end of a hollow stick, I got myself a spyglass. An amber spyglass. There are golden particles dancing everywhere, hazing the houses and the Malefa themselves. And the sky's filled with a torrent of beautiful dust. But it's definitely flowing away from the land.
In the world Will cut into, Lyra wakes before dawn.
I asked the Ethiometer, and it said we shouldn't try to escape from the little people, because they're going to save our lives.
Have you told them what we're going to do?
No, but the Alethiometer said we could get there if we follow the knife.
Just follow the knife, nothing else?
Yeah.
Sounds easy, but I bet it isn't.
What have you decided?
We've got something else to do before we come with you to Lord Asriel.
We're going to the world of the dead. We don't know where it is, but the knife will find it.
Children, when we die, everything is over. You've seen what happens to a demon. It vanishes.
Things can vanish from sight, but they can still exist.
How long will this foolish expedition take?
Will takes the knife from its horn holster, and a powerful temptation makes him feel for the touch of his own world. He still has his mother's credit card. He could buy familiar food. He could even telephone Mrs. Cooper and speak to his mum. And then the knife jars. Will's heart almost stops.
Try again.
This feels different. Like a very smooth surface. Almost as if I'm cutting through a mirror. Come through. The air resists the knife. That's the first time it's happened.
Will, this must be the world of the dead. There's no sun. There's no sky for it to cross.
Here and there, fires burn among ruins. Shacks and shanties have been put together from beaten-out petrol cans, torn sheets of polythene, scraps of plywood and hardboard.
This is horrible.
Yes. It looks like a refugee camp.
Wait, wait, stop right there.
Can you tell us where we are?
I can. You're in the holding area.
Why can't we just go into the town, like the others?
Because you're alive.
Well, how come we've got this far?
The living come here by mistake. This is just a port of transit.
So where do the dead go when they leave here?
I couldn't say. Now move along, please.
What do we do now?
You'll have to find somewhere to stay.
The sky seems to be made of smoke.
Those grey-looking people there, why are they hanging about?
They're not people, and they're not ghosts, Lyra.
That woman coming out of that shack, she's alive.
Hello.
You gave me a fright. Who are you?
Travellers?
Sort of.
We need somewhere to sleep tonight.
These are strange times. Come in and welcome. My name's Jane. Like you, I arrived by accident. Now I've got to wait. When it's time, your death takes you by the hand and you go with him in a boat across the lake. No one comes back. I'll introduce you to him if you like. Jane's Death, come in, please.
He's a bit scruffy.
Lyra?
Well, he is.
This is really your death?
Yes.
And your own death takes you across the lake? There's no other way.
Lyra, do you understand what you're doing?
Yes.
You don't. You can't risk your own death. Come back with us to Lord Asriel's right now.
Listen to her. Let's go back now, before it's too late.
I've got to find Roger. I feel so terrible about Roger. And I want to say sorry. Make it as good as I can. Because it's my fault he's dead. And I don't care if I have to die to do it.
Lyra.
You're my death.
Yes. I'm very pleased to meet you.
You ain't gonna take me yet, are you?
Well, you wanted me.
Yeah, I did. Yes. But I want to go to the land of the dead. Only I don't want to die.
You don't want my gift?
Not now. Not yet. I love being alive. And I love my demon. And demons don't go there, do they?
No. Your demon vanishes into the air and you vanish under the ground.
Then I want to take my demon with me. And I want to come back again.
One day you'll go there with no effort. In my company. I'm your special friend.
No. Pat Lyman is my special friend. And I love him. I don't know you.
I can show you the way. But as for getting out again...
And my friends?
Yes, I'll take them.
We'll come. But it's against every instinct.
No. No, Lyra. Don't go with him. Don't go. Lyra.
In the world of the Malefa, Mary Malone starts her investigation into why the dust or shadow particles are flowing away from the land. She climbs a tall willpod tree.
Oh, incredible. Dust's flying by in the breeze. Except it seems to be heading out to sea against the wind. The flower heads are angled upwards so the dust doesn't touch them. Okay, I'm coming down.
Can you do anything?
I'll have to spend more time up here. Will you help me build a platform?
Of course.
At the same time, in the world of Chitagatsi, Father Luis Gomez carries the twin tokens of his determination to kill the girl. The insignia of the Magisterium hung on a chain around his neck, and the rifle slung on his back. He is thirsty, and notices a wet patch of rock at the top of a scree. He climbs up to see if there's a spring. There isn't. It's a window through to the world of the wheelpod trees. He crouches down and enters. And in the land of the dead, Lyra is led by her own death towards the misty lake. Will, Tialis, and Salmakia follow unwillingly enough. The Pantalaimon is wild with fear.
Don't stop, Lyra. Please.
I've got you, Pan. I'm sorry. Is that boat for us?
There's no one else wanting the use of it, is there?
We better get in.
Yeah.
Come on, Pan.
Not him.
He's me.
If you come, he stays.
We can't. We die.
That's what you want.
It isn't, no.
Don't leave me here, Lyra.
I'll find you afterwards. Boatman, please row or something. Now.
Pantalaimon knows that if he so much as speaks, she'll lose her resolve. So he turns into a dog and runs along the shore.
Pan, I love you. I'll find you again. If it takes all my life. I've got to find Roger. I've got to. My heart. Will.
Oh, this is horrible. I feel like something's being ripped out of me.
So the prophecy of the Master of Jordan College comes true. Lyra betrays Pantalaimon, and the pain is terrible.
Are we dead?
Makes no difference. The gate to the land of the dead is on this island. Everyone comes here. None return.
We will. We'll come back.
There's some who don't believe they're dead. There's others who longed to be dead, lives full of misery. And they've killed themselves for a chance of a blessed rest and found nothing changed, except for the worst. And I've rowed this boat with a little crying baby on my lap many times that never knew the difference between up there and down here. So, if you don't know whether you're dead or not, and the little girl swears blind she'll come out again to the living, I say nothing to contradict you. What you are, you'll know soon enough. I'll hold the boat still whilst you climb out.
Come on, Lyra.
Thank you, boatman. When you go back, tell my demon I love him best of everything in the land of the living and the dead. And I swear I'll come back.
I will, if he's still there.
As the Galavespian's dragonflies dart above the vegetation, Will and Lyra move from the wharf, keeping close together. Suddenly, they are confronted by a wall. Its gigantic stone blocks covered in ancient slime rise higher into the mist than they can see.
What's that?
I wouldn't like to guess.
Are they human voices?
I hope not.
To your right, Will, there's a door.
Hold back the vegetation and you'll see it.
It's a battered wooden gate under a slab of stone. Before Will can lift his hand to open it...
There's something flying towards us, Almachia!
Up! We'll get above them!
The Galavespians dart into the air, but the thing that's flying down sweeps them aside before settling on a ledge just above the children. The creature's the size of a vulture, but with the head and breasts of a woman. There's a putrescent stink every time she moves. She is a harpy.
Alive?
Yeah.
Are you? If you're trying to stop us, then you better be ready to fight as well as scream.
Your mother is alone. We shall send her nightmares.
Will tries not to react. Out of the corner of his eye, he can see the Lady Salmakia moving delicately along the branch where the harp is perching. The lady suddenly leaps at the harpy, spins around to dig her spur into the creature's scaly leg.
Hey, hey, hey! Tiaris! Salmakia! Stop! Stop! Nothing can hurt her! Except maybe the knife! Lady, what's your name?
No name!
No name? What do you want from us?
What can you give me?
We could tell you about ourselves.
You're offering to tell me a story.
If you like.
What then?
You might let us go through the door.
Try.
Be careful, Lyra.
Okay. My father and mother were the Duke and Duchess of Abingdon. And the king used to come and stay. And they go hunting...
Without a cry of warning, the harpy launches herself at Lyra, catching her scalp and tearing out a clump of her hair. With his shoulder curved over to protect her as she shakes and sobs, Will thrusts the knife into the door and cuts out the lock.
Come on.
Why did she attack?
I don't know. Let me see. Oh, it's a scratch. Come on, we've got to keep moving.
I thought I was good at lying.
Doesn't matter. Let's look for Roger.
Will, look.
In front of them is a great plain extending into the mist. The light is dull and exists everywhere, equally so that there are no true shadows. There are adults and children, ghost people, so numerous that Lyra can't guess at their number.
Can you talk? Can you understand me?
The ghost children think the dragonflies are demons. They ain't. But if my own demon was here, you could all stroke him. My hands pass right through them. They're like mist.
I think they're trying to warm themselves by walking through us. I'm turning numb.
Please, we wish we could warm you all and touch you all, but we came down here to look for someone.
That little girl seems fascinated by your wound.
Did the harpies do that?
Yeah, but if that's all they can do, I ain't worried.
It isn't. They do worse.
What?
It's not so bad for them that's been here hundreds of years. It's the new ones they like tormenting most.
We came here to find a boy called Roger.
Why are you bothering?
Lyra wants to speak to him. And I want to find my father, John Parry.
My friend's called Roger Parslow.
Tell them it's Lyra and Will.
Run, run. You must run. The harpies are back.
Will!
William Parry, Mummy's boy, mad mummy, lonely mother. She's off her head, is Elaine Parry.
Oh, don't listen, Will.
The harpies snap at the air as if they are eating insects. They mock his mother with a stream of filthy words, yet part of his mind is cold and separate.
Tialis, Salmakia, I've just realised.
Yes, Will?
The harpies don't want to touch us. It was an accident when that one hurt Lyra. They're no physical threat.
I think you're right.
This way. Come with us. We'll find Roger Parslow and John Parry.
So they set off across the desolate plain, and the harpies wheel overhead, screaming but keeping their distance. The Galavespians fly above them, keeping watch.
Where are your demons?
We left them outside, where it's safe. Did you have a demon?
Yes. His name was Sandling. I loved him.
Had he settled into a fixed shape?
No. But he was a bird most often. What's your demon called?
Pantalaimon.
Everyone says when you die they vanish. But I know my Sandling is somewhere.
Will?
Yes?
I want to take all the ghosts outside. Once we've found Roger and your father, let's open a way for them to get back into the world.
Roger? Are you Roger?
Yes, I'm Roger Parslow.
Roger, Lyra is here. Lyra! Lyra!
Step by step, the living girl draws closer to the boy she had brought to his death.
How do you say hello to someone you helped kill?
When Roger and Lyra come face to face, it happens quite suddenly. There he is. In among the press of ghosts, his face as full of delight as a ghost's can be.
Lyra, I'd never thought I'd see you again.
He rushes to embrace her. They can never truly touch again.
Roger, I'd never forget you.
I'd done the wrong thing when Pan got my demon away from Lord Asriel's. We shouldn't have tried to fight. We should have run to you.
That wasn't your fault, stupid. It was me that brung you there in the first place.
Where's Pan?
I had to leave him on the shore. It was horrible. It hurt so much.
This is a terrible place, Lyra. There's no change when you're dead. Then bird things whisper all the bad stuff you ever did. And you can't get away.
Perhaps you can.
What do you mean?
Well, the witches have got a prophecy about me. I'm not supposed to know. I'm going to do something important in another world. And Lord Asriel, before he went through into the new world, said death is going to die. So I've got to help all the ghosts escape from here forever.
Will, what are you and Lyra going to do now?
Let the dead out.
Magnificent! That's the greatest blow you could strike. The authority will be helpless after that.
Then we'll have to get out of here and find our demons.
Have you said anything to the ghosts?
No. In case it doesn't work. I've got to find a world I can open, and those harpies are watching all the time. I don't want to let those things escape.
We could distract them whilst you cut through.
Yeah, please.
Will holds the knife loosely, but the first cut opens onto rock. Again and again he finds rock. Lyra notices and comes over. Roger follows.
Will, what's wrong?
I'm going to have to move away from here so I can get a window above ground.
I told Roger what we're trying to do. But Will, I'm scared. Suppose we get stuck here forever.
If the worst happens, we'll just cut a tunnel.
So we're not really trapped.
Will, have your knife ready. The harpies are congregating. Salmakia and I will hold them off as long as we can.
I'll talk to the ghosts. Try and distract them. You don't want them guessing, or they'll give it away.
Yeah.
Listen to me, everyone. Roger and me, we grew up together. We lived at Jordan College, Oxford. And we used to climb up onto the roofs and run about. And then one time, we went down to the master's wine cellar and we got drunk. We used to have loads of fights with the Clayburners' children. And then we'd all jump into the river to get clean. Harpies, you've been listening too.
Yes. Thousands of years ago, when the first ghosts came down here, the authority gave us the power to see the worst in everyone. And that's what we fed on. Now you're planning to lead the ghosts out into the air!
Is that why they're here?
Look at the sky.
My children, I'll see them again.
And we shall tear and defile every ghost that sets foot in the world of the living.
We've made it worse for everyone now. Not better. They'll hate us. Roger, I should never have come here. What have I done?
Harpies, come back.
You want my anger.
Listen, why did you fly at Lyra at the gate?
Because she lied.
And you kept silent just now because?
It was nourishing. Because it was true.
Then let's make a bargain with you. Instead of seeing only the wickedness in the ghosts, you now have the right to ask everyone to tell the truth about what they've seen and done.
Why should ghosts take any notice of us if they can simply walk out into the world again? We have pride! We need duty and a task to do.
You are the guardians and keepers of this place. Your task will be to guide the ghosts through the land of the dead to the new opening out into the world. In exchange, they will tell you their stories.
And we have the right to refuse to guide them if they lie. Whoever dies and brings nothing stays here.
That is fair.
Are we going to vanish like our demons did?
Lyra, ask the Ideometer.
Yeah. When you go out of here, all the particles that make you up will loosen and float apart, just as your demons did. Like them, you'll be part of everything alive again. Will, have we nearly put an end to death?
Yeah. Soon death is gonna die.
In Lyra's world, Mrs. Coulter brings the intention craft down in a secluded part of St. Jerome's College grounds. The college is home to the Magisterium's Court of Discipline, and Father MacPhail, the president, lodges here. Still unseen, Lord Roke follows.
Mrs. Coulter, I'm very glad to see you.
You are under arrest.
I came here voluntarily as soon as I escaped from Azrael's fortress. The fact is, Father President, I have a great deal of information about his armies and allies, and about the child.
It was your duty to bring her into our care instead of skulking in a cave.
If you thought that I'd release my daughter into the care of a body of men with a feverish obsession with sexuality, you're more stupid than you take me for.
So what were your intentions?
I was going to keep her safe until the danger had passed.
What danger would that be?
I think you know. Somewhere there's a tempter, a serpent. I wanted to prevent them from meeting.
There's a boy with her.
Yes, and if you hadn't interfered, they'd both be under my control.
The boy has a knife of extraordinary power.
I broke it, but it's mended.
The knife's called the God Destroyer. And since Azure's aiming to destroy the Authority, he'll want it. What do you think dust is?
I never found out.
I see. We should talk more tomorrow.
Mrs. Coulter is taken to a clean but threadbare room with a hard bed and a single coarse wool blanket. She is suddenly aware of another presence in the room. The golden monkey demon looks up at the top of the wardrobe and bares his teeth.
We've got a visitor, Marissa.
Lord Roke, and when would you have announced your presence?
Before you undressed. Tell your demon to calm down or I'll sting him.
Shh!
I've just spoken to my agent in Lord Asriel's fortress. Lord Asriel presents his compliments and asks you to let him know what the intentions of the Magisterium are.
Are you here to spy on me or help?
Both. As soon as you arrived, they set some kind of ambaric work in motion down in the cellars.
Oh, I'm too tired to worry about that right now. I'm going to sleep.
Good night. I will keep watch.
Shortly after Mrs. Coulter falls asleep, a figure enters the room. He walks to the bed, leans over her, and with deft and sinewy fingers, removes the gold locket from her neck and opens it. Lord Roke follows him out of the room and down into the laboratories.
Here's the child's hair, Dr. Cooper. Is there enough?
Ample.
How soon can this device be ready?
Within a matter of hours.
And what do you do with the hair?
Place it in the resonating chamber.
And it will direct the force of the bomb?
Yes, to each of the hairs from which these were cut.
So, when it's detonated, the child will be destroyed?
Yes. That's the theory, anyway. But the power needed to cause the device to explode is considerable.
I've seen to that. The hydroanbaric generating station at Saint-Jean-les-Eaux has been requisitioned. That should be sufficient.
As soon as Father MacPhail is out of earshot, Dr. Cooper feels an agonizing stab at his shoulder. He slides to the floor, racked with waves of pain. Lord Roke hauls the envelope containing Lyra's hair out of Dr. Cooper's twitching hand, then sets off in the shadows towards Mrs. Coulter's room.
Mrs. Coulter, wake up!
Lord Roke, what is it?
They've created a bomb which will destroy your daughter. They're going to use your daughter's hair so that the Force can track her. Fortunately, I managed to get the hair back. They took it from your locket as you slept.
Some of it's missing.
We'll have to find the bomb.
Shh, shh, footsteps. Someone's coming.
Give me the envelope.
Hide.
How did you attack Dr. Cooper?
MacPhail, you do like keeping your guests entertained.
You have an accomplice.
I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about. My locket. Who's been in my room whilst I slept?
Guards! Take her to the cellars. Put her in chains. I know just what we can do with this woman. I should have thought of it when she first arrived.
The Zeppelin slows to a hover in the buffeting wind above the generating station perched on its platform on a sheer mountainside.
Can you get any closer?
Not if you want to land, Father MacPhail.
Oh, very well. Put us down below the ridge.
Yes, Lord President.
Lord Roke watches from his hiding place in the transverse bulkheads at the rear of the cockpit. Sensing that the craft is nearly anchored, he makes his way to Mrs. Coulter. The golden monkey sits on her knee, exuding malice. Lord Roke waits for his chance and then darts across to her, hiding in the shadow of her shoulder.
Lord Roke, are you staying with me or working on your own?
I'll stay with you. I'll have to hide inside your coat.
There's a pocket to the left. My demon will fasten the coat when you're in. These manacles don't allow my hands much movement.
You ought to come with me, Mum.
Can you tell me who has the keys to these handcuffs? I know you can't remove them, but if I know who to ask...
The sergeant, Mum. He's over there by the large crate. You're to stay here, Mum.
You heard that, Lord Roke?
Yes. Tell me how far away he is.
About 10 of my paces and to the right. He's a large man. The keys are in a bunch around his waist.
I need to know which key. Did you see them lock the manacles?
Yes, it has black tape round its shaft.
Lord Roke climbs hand over hand down the fleece of Mrs. Coulter's coat till he reaches the hem at the level of her knees and lets go. It leaps at the sergeant's leg as it swings past him and kicks a spur into his flesh just above the boot. Lord Roke hauls the key to his shoulder and runs, skirting puddles and boulders, till he's back with Mrs. Coulter.
Here!
I can't do anything till they start to set up the bomb, and even then, I'm not sure how I'll be able to reach Lyra's hair.
Hide yourself! I'll stay here and watch! Run! Search nearby! Someone is helping the woman!
Marisa, look! Lord Roke is lying in the open.
Bring him back. He's injured. I'll keep watch on Father MacPhail.
Father MacPhail's expression is fixed and intense. He prays. His lips move and his eyes turn up as he walks towards the bomb.
Lord Roke!
My left leg is broken. The last man stepped on me.
Lord Roke, I think Father MacPhail is going to sacrifice himself.
Father MacPhail strikes his lizard demon from his hand and slams the door of the mesh cage of the severance machine. The technicians make their final adjustments. Then Mrs. Coulter is stumbling and falling towards the bomb. She can see the fine strands of Lyra's hair held between rubber pads as she shakes the cage with all her strength, tearing at the mesh, hurling her whole weight against the machine as Father MacPhail brings the live and barrack wires together. The brilliant silver blade slides down.
Marissa, hold on tight.
Asriel, how... Is Father MacPhail dead? Did the bomb go off? What about Lyra? What about my daughter? And where's Lord Roke?
Dead. Look, Marissa. Everything's tumbling down. That's what comes of setting a bomb off on a mountainside. Extremists aren't always the rational people they think they are.
But please, what's happened to Lyra?
A few minutes earlier, in the world of the dead, no name has led Lyra, Will, and the Gallivespians into a system of caves that will bring them to where they can cut a window into another world. They are followed by the endless column of the dead.
Lyra. Lyra, child.
Mr. Scoresby! Oh, Mr. Scoresby, I'm so glad. I wish I could hug you.
Me too, honey. But listen, they're working some trouble up there, and it's aimed at you. Is this the boy with the knife?
Yeah.
Here's your papa.
Son, there's no time to talk. Just do exactly what I say. Find a place now where a lock has been cut from Lyra's hair.
Father!
There's no time, Will. Find where Lyra's hair's been cut.
Take your hand away, Lyra. I can't see.
Who did this? I didn't know.
Cut the short hair off right down to her scalp. Collect it carefully. Then open another world. Any uninhabited one will do. Put the hair through and close it up.
Okay.
Do it now.
There.
Fasten your seatbelts. We're in for a bumpy ride.
We're sliding.
So, Machia, Tialis, climb onto my shoulders.
I can't see anything. What happened?
I guess it was a bomb. Went off and it missed.
Roger, are you there?
Yeah, Mr. Parry saved me.
Look down.
The air clears. And a strange golden glimmer like a luminous misty rain falls all around them. It lights up what lies to their left, where the sparkles are all flowing. A vast black emptiness. An abyss.
The alethiometer's safe anyway. Roger, Will and me will just carry on, so don't be scared.
Yeah, it's creepy though, isn't it?
In a shocked silence, the column of the dead begin their journey along the edge of the gaping abyss, averting their eyes from the gulf, though it pulls and it tempts.
Can you hear that wind?
That hole. It's the same kind of thing as when I cut a window. But it's not a world like all the others. I wish I could close it up, but I can't reach.
Man, every single part of me is aching to join the rest of the living world again.
But perhaps those of us who are used to fighting could hold back. We might be able to throw ourselves into the battle on Asriel's side, and if it came at the right moment, we might make a difference.
Ghosts fighting?
We can't hurt living creatures, but Asriel's army is going to contend with other beings as well.
Like those specters.
Exactly. They attack the demon, don't they? Our demons are long gone.
Jumping Jimson weed, it's worth a try. I'm with you, my friend.
And you, Chevalier Tallis. I have spoken to the ghosts of your people. Your lifespan is short. Will you survive long enough to see the world again?
I have a few more days to live. And the Lady Salmakia a few days longer, perhaps. But now, thanks to the children, death is freedom.
Then a strange thing happens. Once on Jordan College roof, Lyra had walked along the edge of the stone guttering just to frighten Roger. She turns to remind him of it now.
Roger, look.
Lyra, be careful. You ain't dead like me.
And it seems to happen slowly. Her weight shifts, the stones move under her feet, and she begins to slide. At first, it's annoying, then funny, as the stones roll and tumble beneath her, and she slides towards the edge, gathering speed.
Lyra, no!
Then
no!
The horror slams into her.
Help me! Help me!
Lyra!
Out of the dark swoops No Name the Harpy. Her claws shut around the girl's wrist. Together they plunge down, Lyra's weight almost too much for the harpy's strong wings, but they beat and beat, and her claws hold firm. Slowly, heavily, slowly, heavily, the harpy carries the child up and out of the gulf and into Will's reaching arms.
Lyra!
I nearly died. If it wasn't for No Name...
Yeah, and then you'd have to join the back of the queue.
Don't.
Falling into the abyss means total extinction. Nothing survives it.
Even your ghost?
Even your ghost.
Look, there's a way out ahead. The slope's getting easier.
I should be so glad to get out of here.
This looks promising. Let's try the knife.
You found an open space?
I think so.
Well, stop. Listen to me.
Father, when I open the window... I won't see you again.
Mr. Scoresby and I have an idea. Some of us want to go to Lord Asriel's world. We might be useful, and that's where both your demons are.
It is?
But your demon can only live its full life in the world it was born in. Elsewhere it will sicken and die. We can travel through other worlds, but we can only live in our own. Lord Asriel's great enterprise will fail for the same reason. We have to build the Republic of Heaven in our own world because for us, there is nowhere else.
But...
Now cut a window so the other ghosts can return into the living world.
Yes.
Fresh air. And stars. Look, Roger.
Lyra, I never thought I'd see the world again. It's beautiful. You're my dear friend. I'll remember you forever. You freed me. Everyone from that horrible place. I can feel Sarsilia's close. I'm going to find her. Then we'll be part of each other. And everything.
I'll never forget you. Never. Goodbye, Roger, my dear.
Lyra. This is...
He takes a step forward and finds himself becoming the night, the starlight, the air. And then he is gone. Leaving behind him such a vivid burst of happiness. Will and Lyra, Salmakia and Tialis, fall exhausted onto the dew-laden grass and watch all the ghosts return joyfully to the living world.
I don't understand.
Lyra heard me say that death would die. So she went and made sure that there's a way out of the world of the dead. Now ghosts dissolve exactly as their demons did.
Dissolve?
Dissolve is the wrong word. They return to all creation.
My daughter's done that.
Our daughter.
But why didn't the bomb hurt her?
I don't know. We'll just put that down to another failure of judgment on the part of the Magisterium.
It is now midnight. In the Adamantine Tower, Lord Asriel sits in discussion with King Agunwe and the Angel Zephania. The news is not good. To compound their troubles, Clouded Mountain is now clearly visible, a hand's breadth above the horizon.
Zephania, the Magisterium's bomb has opened an abyss below the worlds. There must be a way down to the edge. I want you to find it.
I shall.
What are you going to do, Asriel?
Destroy Metatron and keep my daughter safe.
What about Mrs. Coulter?
What about Mrs. Coulter?
Marissa, are you awake?
Asriel, we should have married and brought Lyra up ourselves.
That's what you've been thinking, is it? She has changed us.
Asriel, what will happen now? Is this the end of everything?
Enter.
Excuse me, my lord. The two demons have been seen. Close to the eastern gate about 5 minutes ago.
Tell Zephania at once.
Yes.
Anyone seeing them should first report back to me.
It has been desperately hard for Will and Lyra to leave the living world where they've slept the night. But now Lyra's bent over the alethiometer in the land of the dead, to find out how to cut through into Lord Asriel's world.
We're nearly in the right place. At the end of this tunnel, there's a rock running with water. You cut through there. But there's danger. A battle.
Lee Scoresby, Stanislaw Grumman, and the dying Tialis and Salmakia scramble upwards with the children. A harpy no name follows.
Life is good. Death is over. My only regret, Dr. Grumman, is there's no games of hazard.
Yes.
He's the wet rock.
Okay. Let me just get a steady foothold so I can cut through without slipping.
I've been thinking. No name.
Yes, Lyra.
You're Bernison. Name me Lyra Silvertongue. I'm going to call you Gracious Wings. So that's your name from now on.
I will see you again, Lyra Silvertongue.
When I die, I shan't be afraid. Goodbye, Gracious Wings.
Goodbye, child.
Are you ready to go through?
This is the world of Lord Asriel's Republic.
That's what the alethiometer says.
Lady Salmakia and I have seen his world before. There's a fortress on a mountaintop. That is what Lord Asriel's defending. Lyra and Will have only one task now, and that is to find their demons.
I'm ready. Father?
Yes, Will?
I wish Mum was with us. The knife!
It's stuck in the air.
It nearly broke.
Try again.
Yes.
Open it wider, Will.
Quickly. Look over there.
Something's moving.
Spectres.
They're making for that platoon of riflemen.
We can fight those things.
The ghosts climb out of the earth and pit themselves against the spectres. Lyra feels the first shiver of danger. She suddenly realizes that she's grown up enough to have become vulnerable to their attack.
Will! Will!
I feel it too. Our demons must be close. Come on.
There is a movement in the sky above Lyra and Will. The intention craft flies low over them before moving away into the center of the storm. Mrs. Coulter and her demon are alone in the cockpit and heading for Clouded Mountain. She feels exalted as she brings the craft into land on the substance of the mountain itself, which glows and fades like breathing mother of pearl. Angels approach, carrying a crystal litter. They falter when they see the intention craft. Mrs. Coulter sees they're carrying an indescribably old angel. The angels hurriedly retrieve the poles of the litter and spread their wings wide, carrying it between them into the swirling vapors. Mrs. Coulter is suddenly confronted by a dazzling angel with a spear.
Who are you? What is your business?
You are Metatron.
Yes.
I am Mrs. Coulter, Lyra's mother.
Where is she? If she were in your power, you would have brought her.
I have her demon. Please, great regent, my eyes are dazzled.
He draws a veil of cloud in front of himself. Now it's like looking at the sun through smoked glass.
Lord Asriel has the child's demon.
What does he want with the girl?
To keep her from you till she comes of age. He doesn't know where I've gone, and I must get back to him soon. Look at me, great regent. I am telling the truth.
I see. Corruption. Envy. And lust for power. Cruelty. And coldness. You have tortured and killed without regret. You are a cesspit of moral filth.
That's why I can betray him. You can destroy Asriel and the child.
When I was a man, I had many wives. None was as lovely as you.
It is time you had a consort.
Tell me what Lord Asriel is doing. Tell me where he is.
I can take you to him now.
The angels carrying the litter leave Clouded Mountain and fly south. Metatron has ordered that the authority should be taken to a place of safety away from the battlefield. Unfortunately, A cliff ghast looks up from where he's feasting. At once, he spreads his leathery wings and bounds upwards. The rest of the ghasts follow. Meanwhile, Zephania and her angels have searched in vain for the children's demons and instead have found a new crack in the mountainside. Now Lord Azrael is climbing down it into a series of caverns. It isn't totally dark. There are billions of tiny glowing particles flowing down the tunnel like a river of light.
The dust is flowing towards that chasm.
It looks like the stars from every galaxy in the sky.
And each is a conscious thought, Stella Maria.
What are those shapes down there? They look like people, but...
They're ghosts. This must be the way Lyra came. My daughter. Isn't she something? She tricked the king of the armored bears out of his kingdom, and now she's released the ghosts from death. And I want to meet the boy, William Parry. I'd like to shake his hand.
By this time, Will and Lyra are soaked through. Lady Salmakia is dying in Lyra's hands. The children stumble blindly over rocks and gullies as they search for their missing demons.
Will! Over there! Look! Cliff guard!
Back that way!
They're everywhere!
Will! Use the knife!
Get away! I'll kill you! Oh, they stink! Move back!
Mrs. Corter sees they're carrying an indescribably old angel. The angels hurriedly retrieve the poles of the litter and spread their wings wide, carrying it between them into the swirling vapors. Mrs. Corter is suddenly confronted by a dazzling angel with a spear.
Who are you? What is your business?
You are Metatron.
Yes.
I am Mrs. Corter. Lyra's mother.
Where is she? If she were in your power, you would have brought her.
I have her demon. Please, great regent, my eyes are dazzled.
He draws a veil of cloud in front of himself. Now it's like looking at the sun through smoked glass.
Lord Azrael has the child's demon.
What does he want with the girl?
To keep her from you till she comes of age. He doesn't know where I've gone. And I must get back to him soon. Look at me, great regent. I am telling the truth.
I see corruption, envy, and lust for power, cruelty and coldness. You have tortured and killed without regret. You are a cesspit of moral filth.
That's why I can betray him. You can destroy Azrael and the child.
When I was a man, I had many wives. None was as lovely as you.
It is time you had a consort.
Tell me what Lord Azrael is doing. Tell me where he is.
I can take you to him now.
The angels carrying the litter leave Clouded Mountain and fly south. Metatron has ordered that the authority should be taken to a place of safety away from the battlefield. Unfortunately, a cliff ghast looks up from where he's feasting. At once, he spreads his leathery wings and bounds upwards. The rest of the ghasts follow. Meanwhile, Zephania and her angels have searched in vain for the children's demons and instead have found a new crack in the mountainside. Now Lord Azrael is climbing down it into a series of caverns. It isn't totally dark. There are billions of tiny glowing particles flowing down the tunnel like a river of light.
The dust is flowing towards that chasm.
It looks like the stars from every galaxy in the sky.
And each is a conscious thought, Stella Maria.
What are those shapes down there? They look like people, but...
They're ghosts. This must be the way Lyra came. My daughter. Isn't she something? She tricked the king of the armored bears out of his kingdom, and now she's released the ghosts from death. And I want to meet the boy, William Parry. I'd like to shake his hand.
By this time, Will and Lyra are soaked through. Lady Salmakia is dying in Lyra's hands. The children stumble blindly over rocks and gullies as they search for their missing demons.
Will! Over there! Look! Klipgar!
Back that way!
They're everywhere!
Will! Use the knife!
Get away! I'll kill you! Oh, they stink! Move back!
They've surrounded something! It's like a cage! And somebody's inside it!
Perhaps you should see who is trapped in that crystal cage. He seems very distressed.
He's placing his hand against mine, through the crystal.
I've never seen someone so old. Let's get him out.
There's no door. He's sealed inside.
Cut through.
Will cuts through the crystal in one movement and reaches in. The angel can only weep and mumble in fear, shrinking away from what must seem like another threat.
It won't hurt you.
Take my hand. Will, he's trying to smile.
He's as light as paper. He's the authority, isn't he?
And the authority responds to kindness like a flower to the sun. But in the open air, there is nothing to stop the wind from damaging him. And to their dismay, his shape begins to loosen and dissolve.
I think I can hear horses. And Lord Asriel has no cavalry.
It's polar bears, not horses.
A regiment of armored bears makes directly for them, ready to engage with the enemy soldiers.
Yorick!
Will, Lyra, run for the trees in the valley! Your demons are there!
Mrs. Scoresby, we're over here!
Please, Scoresby, old comrade. I have never seen this before. You are dead. What am I speaking to?
Yorick, old feller, you don't know the half of it. We'll take over now. Lyra, Will, come this way and hold up the knife.
Children, don't waste a second. Find your demons and escape. More danger's coming.
Yorick, my dear. Bless you. Bless you.
Thank you, King Yorick.
No time. Go! Go!
Will plunges after Lee Scoresby's ghost into the undergrowth, slashing to the right and left with his knife.
Keep close. Some of the ghosts are here among the trees. They'll protect you.
Lyra!
There. See him by that big rock?
Two wildcats, their backs arched and fur on end, are spitting and hissing as a specter eases horribly out of the nearest patch of shadow and glides towards them. Will leaps over the last obstacle, a fallen tree trunk, and plunges the knife into the unresisting shimmer in the air. The demons are mad with fear as more and more specters come pressing through the trees with only the brave ghosts holding them back.
It's good to do a bit of hand-to-hand combat, even if we're both lacking hands.
Yeehaw! Will, can you cut through?
I think so.
Get hold of the demons. Take them through into another world.
Come on.
I've got Pan, Lyra.
Go through now!
Goodbye, Mr. Scoresby. I hope you find Hester. Goodbye.
Goodbye, my dear child. Goodbye, Will. Go well.
Father, Dad, you said I was a warrior, but you were wrong. I fought because I had to. I can't choose what I am, but I can choose what I do.
Well done, my boy. Well done, indeed.
Father?
John Parry and Lee Scoresby allow their atoms to drift apart at long last.
Close the window, Will.
Night passes. Now a wide golden prairie lies under the early light of morning. Lyra and Will are silent, and so still and pale they might be dead. Near them are the little graves they dug the previous night for the bodies of the Chevalier Tialis and the Lady Salmakia.
Where are the demons?
I haven't seen Pan since we came through. I don't think he's far away.
But they've run off again.
Yeah. Yours jumped out of my arms.
But this time it doesn't feel as if we're really separating. Not like before. And I bet they've kept together.
Yeah, they would.
Look, Lyra, over there.
They're on wheels.
Weird or what? They look like a cross between an antelope and a motorcycle.
They're coming this way.
I don't feel like fighting anybody right now.
Let me ask the alethiometer. Oh, they're friendly, Will.
Oh, that's a relief.
And they're looking for us. And Dr. Malone, she's in this world.
Welcome, children. Mary Malone's waiting. We'll carry you. First we get to ride on the back of a polar bear, and now we get to ride on a mulefa.
Lyra!
Dr. Malone! How did you get here?
I'll explain when you've rested. And this must be Will. We're from the same world.
Yes, Lyra told me about you.
Has she? Well, come and eat. You both look half starved. This is my house. Come in. Come in.
Next morning, Lyra wakes to find a shirt of Mary's and a length of patterned cloth that she can tie into a skirt. She puts them on. They feel clean, but enormous.
Pan, I know you're there. I can hear you. Please come back. Look, we can spend hours talking and telling each other everything. I'm going for a swim in the river, in case you're interested. Will, wake up.
Where are we? Where's the knife?
We're safe. And your knife's exactly where you left it.
Where are my clothes?
Dr. Malone's washed them. Here. You can put them on underneath your blanket.
Thanks. Your hair's wet.
I went for a swim. I thought I heard Pan, but our demons are still annoyed with us.
Oh, a swim would be brilliant. I don't suppose there's anything to use as a towel.
No. You soon dry in the sun, though.
Okay. See you shortly.
Whilst Will is gone, Lyra wanders round the village, trying not to look too closely in case it's considered rude. Will returns, the water sleeking his hair, his face gleaming. Mary comes to join the children, carrying flatbread and fruit for their breakfast.
And you met angels?
Yeah, Baruch and Balthamos.
Baruch died, but we're not sure where Balthamos is.
Angels can die? Now that's the opposite of what I was taught. After you came to see me in Oxford that second time, I made a program like you said, so the shadows could talk to me through the computer. Actually, they said they were angels. Angels? I could accept that. I'd done a degree and then I'd become an novitiate, you know, entered a convent. I was good at physics, so they let me continue. Then I went to a conference in Lisbon. I was such an innocent. I was downright holy, and that lasted until 9:30 on the evening of August the 10th, 7 years ago. Some of my colleagues asked me to go to a restaurant with them. We sat in the garden under a lemon tree. I found myself opposite a man I didn't know. He was Italian and about my age. He was nice and clever and funny. And Sister Mary Malone started flirting. Then somebody passed me some marzipan, and I suddenly remembered the first time I tasted it. I'd been at a party when I was a young girl, about your age, Lyra. It was a friend's birthday party, and she was having a disco.
She was having a what?
You dance to music that's been recorded. And there was a birthday cake with marzipan on it. And a boy I really liked suddenly took a chunk off the cake and popped it into my mouth. I fell in love with him just for that. For the gentle way he touched my lips with marzipan. And then we kissed. So, anyway, at 9:30 in the evening, at the Portuguese restaurant table, someone gave me a piece of marzipan, and it all came back. I thought, will anyone be better off if I go straight to the hotel and pray and confess? Of course not. Then, after the meal, we went for a walk by the sea, and that was it. I stopped being a nun.
Did you kiss?
I left the church first.
Did you marry him?
No, I didn't marry anyone. I found I was happy on my own.
What was the boy called at the party?
Tim.
What did he look like?
Nice. That's all I remember.
Lyra tries to stop herself trembling with a new excitement. That night, Mary Malone wakes from a fitful sleep and goes to stand at the doorway of her house, watching the cloud shadows speeding over the distant grassland.
I've never seen it like this. Everything's so obviously aware. Perhaps if I go to the grove, I can work out what's happening to the shadow particles.
My tree! Oh, the platforms and smithereens!
I look through the amber spyglass. The clouds are being driven across the moon. But the whole sky's blowing with dust in the opposite direction. As if it's emptying out of the world. The wind, the trees, everything is trying to put up a barrier against the loss of the dust. Matter loves dust. That's what all this means.
But meanwhile, Father Gomez approaches the village.
That movement, is it? He's carrying a rifle. The shadows are clustered around it. He's looking this way. No, no, don't look over here. He's found my house. The children. He's going in. He's come out. So what's he up to?
So, the table's in front of the door because...
A man. I don't know who he was. I thought we were the only humans here, but he looked in while you were both asleep.
Maybe the man had just wandered through from his world.
I don't know. Now, I'm worried about you going off on your own. He may be lurking.
If he just turned around and went away, he can't have meant to do anything bad. And we've got to find our demons, Mary.
I suppose you can see someone coming from a long way off.
And we can always escape into another world.
True. I've packed you some food in case you're out all day. Bread, cheese, and some thirst-quenching red fruits. Like a cross between strawberries and apples. There you go. Who's going to carry it?
Me.
I don't mind.
No, it's all right.
Well, good hunting. But please, take care.
Of course. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Mary seems different today.
She was spooked by whoever it was last night. And she's probably homesick. Maybe she's sad about the man she was in love with.
Do you think we'll ever get home?
Not sure I've got a home to go to anymore. They can't have me back at Jordan College, because it's all men. And I can hardly live with the bears or witches.
What about Lord Asriel's new world?
It's going to fail. Your father said that demons only survive in their own world. He'll have done all that work for nothing. You have to build a republic in your own world.
It wasn't for nothing, even if it doesn't last.
Yeah, but it won't be how he'd imagined it.
Yeah. I'm wondering what shape my demon will eventually become.
Suppose we don't find them.
Then I'll never know.
I picked up your demon by mistake when we came through the window. She was a cat. She and Pan looked almost identical.
When do they stop changing shape?
Soon.
There's things in the grass. You can only see them out of the corner of your eye. Do you think it's them?
Yeah, it's them. But come on, there's that fallen tree. Let's go and have a look. Our demons might follow.
You're right. They're keeping up. They want to be found, don't they?
And I keep wanting to turn around. When we've gone back, what are you going to do?
Go home. I'll have to.
What about the men that were after you?
We've seen worse.
Yeah, I suppose so. But I wanted to show you Jordan College and the Fens. I wanted us to...
Yeah, me too. But there's my mother. I just left her with a neighbour. It's not fair on either of them.
None of it's fair on you.
It's a different sort of not fair. It's like an earthquake. There's no one to blame. But I bet the secret's out by now. My mum's probably in an institution. When I'm old enough, I can look after her properly, in my own home.
So, do you think you'll get married?
I've never thought about it. How about you?
I wouldn't marry anyone in my world.
Ugly lot, are they?
Are you keeping the knife?
I can hardly give it to someone else, can I?
Don't look. They're right behind us.
I thought as much.
We had to leave them, didn't we?
There was no choice. You'd made a promise to Roger.
And you had to speak to your father.
And we had to let the ghosts out.
Pan will be very glad one day. Because when I die, we won't be split up.
Just stop a minute. I'm thirsty. You can't do this in my world. Drink out of every stream. Most are poisoned.
How?
It's because of the way we live.
They dip their hot faces in the brook and drink deeply. Lyra's heart is suddenly beating so fast, she feels the pulse in her throat. Father Gomez, the assassin, watches them from the top of the ridge. He is now convinced that the girl and boy are walking towards mortal sin, so he takes aim through his telescopic sight.
girl looks like an angel.
And I look even more like an angel.
What? Who are you? Where are you?
I am beside you. I have your demon. Put down the gun, or I'll pull the demon even further away from you. Keep still and be quiet.
Who are you?
My name is Balthamos, and I am an avenging angel.
Will and Lyra follow the stream into the wood. Now the demons have vanished again. They are completely alone. They take off their shoes and sit down on the mossy rocks at the edge of the stream, dipping their feet in the cold water.
I'm hungry.
Me too.
They unfold the cloth and eat some bread and cheese. Their hands are slow and clumsy. They hardly taste the food. Then Lyra takes one of the little red fruits, and with a fast-beating heart, she turns to Will. She lifts the fruit gently to his mouth. She can see from his eyes that he is too joyful to speak. Her fingers are still at his lips.
Lyra.
Around them there is nothing but silence, as if the whole world is holding its breath. They kiss. For the first time. But I am terrified. I move upstream, taking Father Gomez away from the woods, holding the insect demon which bites and scratches and stings, all the time trying to remain hidden. He mustn't catch me up. An angel of my low rank and poor health is no match for a man. Flesh is stronger in combat.
Stop! Stop! Let's talk!
Come away from the wood.
How can I follow when I can't see you? I only know to keep moving because of the pain. You're taking my demon too far from me and... You're leaving wet footprints on the rock. I know where you are! Feathers. You have wings.
I told you. I am an angel. I thought with your background you'd have more respect.
Talk here, please. My demon, you don't know how much this separation hurts. I can't do you any harm. Stop, please.
Sit down where you are. Not a step closer.
What do you want?
I want to kill you, but I haven't the strength.
But you are an angel.
What does it matter?
You've made a mistake. We're on the same side.
I know whose side you're on. No, don't move. Stay there.
It's not too late to repent. Even rebel angels are allowed to do that. Let me hear your confession.
Oh, Baruch, help me.
Father Gomez leaps. He hurls himself hard at me, expecting much more resistance than he meets. His momentum carries him down to the stream. Father Gomez falls and cracks his head against a stone. He's stunned. He chokes with his face in the stream. He tries feebly to rise. The demon stings my eyes and mouth, and I use all the little strength I have to hold the man's head down in the water, and I keep it there. And the demon vanishes.
Baruch. My dear Baruch, I can do no more. Will and Lyra are safe, and everything shall be well. All manner of things shall be well. Baruch, my beloved.
Mary, the dust, it's different.
I'll have to look through the amber spyglass to see it.
Yes, the dust isn't flowing away anymore. It's falling, like snowflakes.
Oh, the flowers on the wheel trees, they'll be pollinated.
No more bad harvests. Here's Lyra and Will.
Mary, they seem to be made of living gold.
The dust from the stars has found a living home again. Because these young people are saturated with love for each other.
It is nighttime, and the two demons move through the silent Mulefa village, padding in and out of the shadows in cat form, pausing outside Mary Malone's open door, peering inside, then slipping back into the night. They walk towards the tree where the two children are fast asleep in each other's arms, and they touch them. Will's demon gently cleaning his fast healing hand, and Pantalaimon lifting the hair from Lyra's face. They hear a sound behind them, and immediately become wolves, baring their teeth, menace in their every line. A woman stands outlined by the moon.
Come with me.
Serafina Pekala!
Shh! Change into birds and fly to where we can talk. Come up into this tree. Listen to me. In leaving you both on the shores of the world of the dead, Lyra and Will did something without knowing it. You are still whole beings, but now you can roam free and see strange things and bring back knowledge. Now, I know Pantalaimon, but Will's demon, what are you called?
I'm not sure. I didn't know I existed until I was torn from Will's heart.
Then I shall name you Kiyava. Now, it's time to return to your humans. They need your help. You have to tell them what you know. All the windows must be closed, and your humans must return separately to their own worlds. Now I'm going to speak to Mary Malone.
Serafina Pekala flies down to the hut on her cloudbine.
Where are Lyra and Will?
There, asleep under that tree.
They went looking for the demons today, but something else happened. They fell in love.
You have a demon too, sister.
I do?
Mm-hmm. He's a little black bird with red legs and a slightly curved, bright yellow beak. A bird of the mountains.
An alpine chough? How can I see him?
You may glimpse him if you half close your eyes.
Right, I'll try.
What I've come to tell you is that the children must return separately to their own worlds. The windows between them must be sealed and the subtle knife broken. The demons will help, but you must comfort them too.
They're in love?
I know.
Can you see dust, Serafina?
No. Until the wars began, I'd never even heard of it.
I made an amber spyglass which lets you see it. Here.
That is dust. Oh, it's beautiful.
Turn to the tree where Will and Lyra are sleeping.
Oh, they're bathed in gold. They did this?
Yes. Because they saw each other differently, and the dust was suddenly and powerfully attracted to them. It stopped flowing away.
Oh, so that was how it was to happen. I met an angel. Her name was Zephania. She told me that all the history of human life had been a struggle between wisdom and stupidity. She and the other rebel angels, the followers of wisdom, had always tried to open people's minds. The authority and magisterium had always tried to keep them closed. And the struggle isn't over. They'll regroup under a new commander. We must be ready to resist.
So what's happened to Lord Asriel?
He and Mrs. Coulter fought the Regent of Heaven, the angel Metatron, and they wrestled him down into the abyss. They're all gone.
They won't become ghosts and defy death?
No, their atoms were destroyed. Once, in my world, I saw Mrs. Coulter torture a witch, and I swore this arrow would find its mark in her throat. I must now break it. She sacrificed herself with Lord Asriel to save Lyra.
Oh, how can we tell Lyra that her parents are dead?
Wait until she asks. And she has her symbol reader. That will tell her anything she wants to know.
Can you foretell what they'll choose to do?
No. But if Lyra returns to her own world, then I shall be her sister for as long as she lives. What will you do, Mary?
I suppose I belong in my own world. I'll be sorry to leave this one. I've been very happy here. The happiest I've been in my whole life.
When we part soon, we'll part forever.
At the same moment, the demons are approaching Will and Lyra as they sleep under the tree.
Lyra! Pan! This is Kiyava. Will's demon. Kiyava.
My demon?
Serafina Pekala named me. Serafina Pekala came to us just now.
Pan! What is it? What's the matter? Aren't you pleased to see me again?
It's something terrible. We have to tell you something terrible.
It's about dust. It was all flowing away down the abyss that you saw in the world of the dead.
That golden light was dust.
And it's still leaking away into nothing. And it mustn't. It's got to stay in the worlds. Otherwise everything good will die.
Will, every time we made an opening between worlds,
us or the old guild philosophers, we cut into the same emptiness that exists at the bottom of the abyss. You must close every opening for good. Every one.
No.
There's no choice.
So one of us must choose to live in the other's world.
We can't exist in each other's worlds without being affected. My father was dying after 10 years.
All the windows must be closed.
Who said?
A female angel.
We can make just a small window, and we close it up each time, so hardly any dust got out.
No, spectres.
What about them?
We found out where they come from.
They're the children of the abyss. Every time we open a window with the subtle knife, it makes a spectre. That's why Chittagatsi was so full of them.
And they grow by feeding on dust. And demons are sort of similar to dust. Grown-up demons, anyway.
Will, remember Yurik Bernison saying that the knife has intentions too? That must be it. We can't let the spectres out. If one of us stays in the other's world, that should work. Your father didn't have any doctors to help him.
He was a shaman. He knew more than most doctors, and he was still very sick.
But if we ask Dr. Malone, there might be specialist doctors and research in that.
No.
Another
thing my father said, we have to build the Republic of Heaven where we are, in our own worlds. I thought he just meant Lord Asriel, but he meant us. We have to live in our own worlds.
I'm going to ask the alethiometer. That'll say. I don't know why I didn't think of it before.
Lyra, what's wrong?
I can't remember what it means. I don't understand it anymore. It's left me. It was easy all the time I needed to know stuff, for rescuing Roger and helping Yurik Bernison. But it's got more difficult. I thought it was because I was tired, but it wasn't.
Lyra, here's the angel we saw.
William Parry, I have come to ask you to help me.
How can I help an angel?
Show me how to close the openings that the knife makes.
In return, can you help us?
Not in the way you want. Your sorrow has left traces in the air.
Why can't I read the alethiometer anymore?
You read it by grace, and you can regain it by work.
Yeah, but how long will that take?
A lifetime. Grace attained like that is deeper and fuller than grace that comes freely.
And all the windows have to be closed.
Understand this. Dust is not a constant. There's not a fixed quantity. Conscious beings make dust. They renew it all the time by thinking and feeling, reflecting and gaining wisdom and passing it on. And if you help everyone else in your worlds to do that, then they will renew enough dust to replace what is lost through one single window.
So there could be one left open?
Yes.
We can't, Will. We have to leave one open for the dead. We're going to be alone.
I've always been alone, till now. And I have to give everything up. Everything? Why should I?
Will.
All right. I'll show you how to close a window. But I'll have to open one first. Are there many windows to close?
Thousands. And there's also the terrible abyss made by the bomb and the great opening that Lord Asriel created.
Can you feel the edge in the air?
Yes.
That's what has to be pinched shut.
Tomorrow you must cut your way through to your worlds, then close them forever. Then you must break the knife, gather the pieces, and guard them.
Will, I want to live with you forever. I know that.
I'll always love you. And when I find my way out of the world of the dead, I'll find you.
We'll live on in birds and clouds. And when they want to use our atoms to make a new life, they won't be able to take just one. They'll have to take two. One from each of us. We'll be joined so tight.
Do you remember Chittagatsi? I'd never seen a demon before. And then he spoke.
I like you immediately.
I liked you first.
No, you didn't.
Oh, look at our demons.
They're different. Pan, are you fixed now? Is this what you're always going to be?
Yes. I'm a pine marten.
And I'm a cat.
A lustrous larger than normal cat.
A new mood has taken hold of Will. He moves his hand from Lyra's wrist and strokes the red gold of Pantalaimon's fur. Lyra gasps. Her surprise is mixed with pleasure, like the feeling when she'd put the fruit to his lips. With a racing heart, she places her hand on the silky warmth of Kiava, knowing Will is feeling exactly the same thing. Neither demon will change now. These are their shapes for life. And Will and Lyra hold each other close as the earth turns slowly and the moon and the stars blaze over them. The final day in paradise has arrived.
Goodbye, Mary. Here is a lacquer phial containing wheel tree oil and a bag of seeds. Oh, don't forget me, Mary.
Never. I never forget you and the kindness of your people, Atal.
Now, we must leave and find the window to take us back to Chitigatse.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Here's the window. Lyra, Will, are you ready to go through?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Seraphina, are the specters still there?
No, don't worry. Zephania has destroyed them.
Right. Goodbye, world of the Mulefa. I'll seal this.
Can I come a little way into Will's Oxford with him?
Yes, but only for a short time.
There's something I have to do.
Lyra, there's our cafe.
Wonder why we both chose it in the first place. That fizzy drink went up my nose.
And you didn't know what a fridge was. And there's the window into my Oxford.
When I left, it was guarded by police on the other side.
It still is.
I'll seal it up, then cut through further along.
That'll surprise the constabulary the next time they look.
Now, I'll walk a few paces. Mary, do you know where this is?
It's North Oxford.
I want to go to the Botanic Garden.
Is that all right, Seraphina?
Yes. Let's all go through.
It is the rush hour on the high street. But as they turn down the steps opposite Magdalen College, towards the gate of the Botanic Garden, Will and Lyra are completely alone.
Will, I used to come here, in my Oxford, and sit on this exact bench whenever I wanted to be alone. Just me and Pan. What I thought was that if you... maybe just once a year, if we could come here at the same time, on Midsummer's Day, at noon, as long as we live. And later, if we meet someone we like, and if we marry them, we mustn't make comparisons all the time. But just keep coming here once a year.
Lyra.
Will, my love, it's time.
Lyra, being cheerful starts now.
Yeah. We'll never be apart. Not really.
I love you.
Lyra, it's time.
Will, come back with me to my flat.
Perhaps we can work something out. I may be able to... well, we can help your mother.
Goodbye, sister.
Seraphina, I... goodbye, sister.
Come on, Pan.
Goodbye, Kiava. The knife will break when the window is finally sealed.
3 weeks later, Lyra is sitting on the bench in the Botanic Garden in her Oxford. It's midnight. The master has given Lyra her own key to the garden door so she can come and go as she pleases. Pan revels in showing off his ability to climb trees and slink secretly through the shrubs and plants.
Pan?
What?
Will's father said the Kingdom of Heaven was over.
But he said we had to build something in its place. That's why we need our full lives.
We would have gone with Will and Kiyava, wouldn't we?
Yes. Or they would have come with us.
But we couldn't do what Will's father told us we must. Not if we put ourselves first.
We had to come back, Lyra. On our own.
Somehow, we have to build the Republic of Heaven here.
And they shall...
In The Amber Spyglass by Philip Pullman, dramatized by Lavinia Murray, Lyra was played by Lulu Popplewell, Will by Daniel Anthony, Lord Asriel by Terence Stamp, Mrs. Coulter by Emma Fielding, and Balthamos by Ray Fearon. Baruch was played by Steve Toussaint, Mary Malone by Brige Brennan, The Boatman by Trevor Peacock, Lord Roke by Adrian Scarborough, Lady Salmakia by Joanna Munro, and Tialis by David Timpson. Serafina Pekala was played by Tracy Ann Oberman, The Inquirer by David Calder, King Ogunwe by Bert Caesar, Zephania by Jenny Stoller, Metatron by Philip Maddock, and No Name by Adjua Ando. Armour was played by Jasmine Hyde, Attle by Laura Doddington, Jane by Emma Williams, and Dr. Cooper by Martin Hyder. Lee Scoresby was played by Peter Marinka, Stanislaw Grumman by Jack Claff, Pavel by Stuart Fox, and Yorick Bjørnason by Steve Hodson. Pantelimon was played by Richard Firth, Kiava by Carla Simpson, Ozymandias by David Holt, Roger by Lee Conwell, The Ghost Girl by Sumaya Keynes, The Ghost Children by Victoria O'Donnell and Greg Prentice, and Lyra's Death by Scott Brooksbank. Technical presentation was by Peter Ringrose, Colin Guthrie, Richard Beedsmore and Paul Arnold. The music was composed and realised by Billy Cowie. The Amber Spyglass was directed by David Hunter for BBC Radio 4 and published by BBC Audiobooks.